Philippians. Philippians. Yes, sir. Go ahead. You don't ever give him a hard time, do you? Oh, I didn't think so. You notice Larry's a backslider? He's starting to go farther and farther back. You even notice that? I just wanted to know. I didn't want to mention it at all, but I just thought maybe, you know, maybe I was the only one that noticed that, you know. All right. Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for this Thanksgiving Eve. We just thank you for the ones who are in church tonight. We just pray for those who are traveling, Lord. We pray that you give them safety as they travel. Father, we thank you so much for this church. We thank you for the people who come so faithfully. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done. That be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got the mic back there? This being the night before Thanksgiving, I wanted to take and bring a Thanksgiving Eve message, and so many times it's kind of difficult, many, for people to get out if they're not here and things, but I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, and I just want to bring a message tonight that it's going to be not real, real long, but it's going to be long enough to where we should be here out of here by midnight. But anyway, no, I guarantee we'll be out here before that. But, you know, I don't feel that there's any of us who are sitting in this room tonight who can't be thankful for something that God has done for them this last year. You know, I know in my life, I could just write volumes of things that God has done that I've been so thankful for this past year. You know, I believe that many times we forget what it really means to be thankful for the things that we have, and we take for granted many times the things that God has done for us this past year. You know, I know there's an awful lot of people, and today I was out at a food bank and talking to people and things, and I asked one lady, I said, what are you thankful for? She said, I'm just thankful that I have enough food to get through this week. And I said, well, you'll get enough to get through this week and probably some next week. And so, you know, a lot of times we forget to be thankful for what God has given us. But I want to look tonight at something that I believe that we need to be thankful for. The first thing is this. We need to be thankful as Christ was thankful. We need to be thankful as Christ is thankful. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Jesus is God in flesh, knew all things, didn't he? You know, he knew how creation was formed. He knew why he came to earth. He knew what was going to be ahead of him. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew the very day that he was going to die. He also knew the very day that he was going to rise again according to Scripture. Now, you know, no matter how bad our situation seems to be, we should be able to give thanks for what we have and what we're going through. There's many times I think to myself, well, I wonder why God has done this, or I wonder why God has done that. You know, too many times we have problems in our lives And we have a pity party, don't we? A pity party is going into the corner, putting your lip out and saying, poor me, poor my,
how many of you ever heard the song, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms? That's the way a pity party is, you know what I mean?
And you go in there and you just sit there and you go, oh, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms, little bitty gushy ones, great big juicy ones, see how they wiggle in the script? You know, what we need to realize is that we don't need to have a pity party. You know, there's got to be things that you need to be thankful for. You know, there are many in this room have gone through some real hard times this past year. There's been some that have lost loved ones. Some have went through financial difficulty. Some have had difficulties in their personal lives. Some difficulties with their children. You know, it's not up to us to question why things happen the way they do. And you know, each and every one of us sitting in here has things happen to us that we don't really like, don't we? I know I have. I mean, this last year, I've been thinking to myself, you know, Lord, why did you do that? Or why did you do that? And you know, I've come to this conclusion, is we should not ask God why, but what. Don't ask God why something is happening in your life. Say, what can I use this for your honor and your glory? Now, I can remember back in 1994, on July 1st, 1994, we got into an airplane, we took off, and all of a sudden we crashed. And here we are laying on the ground. I thought I was going to die. And after all, how many people make it through a plane crash? You know? And I thought I was going to die. And yet, I never once questioned God why it happened. I just said, what can I use this for your honor and your glory? And He showed me. He showed me that He wanted me to come to Arizona and start a church. You know, what we need to realize is there's so many people today that things happen in their life and they're going, oh God, why did this happen? It isn't why did it happen, but what can we use this for? I heard a man during the Columbine shooting, and he was being interviewed. And they said, are you really upset about gun violence? And he says, I'm not as upset about the gun violence as I am the people who are doing the violence. He says, it's not the guns that are doing the violence, it's the people behind the guns that are doing the violence. And they said, well, aren't you bitter over this? And he says, no, I'm not. And they said, why not? He says, I know that my daughter was saved, and I know that she's in heaven today. And it's not why God did this happen, but what God can I use this for your honor and your glory. And this newscaster said, well, how can you say something like that? He says, well, let me tell you something. Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. We need to take and accept Him as our personal Savior. Now, this man was being interviewed on NBC. It was going all over the world. It was not, why, God, did you do this, but what can I turn it around to use it for your honor and your glory? And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. You know, what we need to realize is that many times we have bad things happen to us. We don't know why, but we shouldn't ask, why is this happening? But what can I use this for? You know, it's not up to us to question why God does things in our lives. You know, God, we should thank God for allowing us to go through what He's put us in. You know, I had a man a while back, him and his wife lost a baby. And he came to church. He came to the food bank, and him and I started talking. And
he was, you could tell just by talking that he was real bitter. Real bitter. And I said to him, I said, can I ask you a question? He says, what's that? I said, why are you so bitter at God? He said, well, I don't know why God took our child from us. And I said, well, can you come in my office for a little bit? He said, sure. Came in, sat down. And I said, tell me about it. And he went through the whole scenario, how God had taken his child. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, have you ever thought that maybe God took your child for you to do something for God? He says, how could that ever be? 1979. December 12th, 1979. We had a little girl born. 8 days later, she died. Picked up staph infection in the hospital. Got so bad, nothing they could do, and she died. At her funeral, we had our pastor had given a salvation message. We had 8 people saved that day. But you know what? I never once ever asked God why he took our girl. Never once. I just said, God, show me what I can do with this for your honor and your glory. I sat there and I shared our story with this man about how God had taken our daughter for his honor and his glory. That man accepted the Lord that day. And his wife, he brought his wife in about a week later, and Carol was able to take and talk with her. And she got saved too. And listen, God many times will bring things into our lives that we don't like. But you know what? We need to be thankful for it because it's for his honor and his glory. And he says, I'm going to give this to you to make you a stronger person. Just be thankful for it. Just be thankful for it. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing, and they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. You know, even the disciples, when they were in prison for preaching, and they had been beaten, they were rejoicing because God found them faithful, and they felt that they weren't even worthy to be called a child of God. You know, look at Jesus. He gave thanks to his heavenly Father, the first in the Godhead, for allowing him to come to earth and do what he had to do. You know, do you know that Jesus wouldn't have had to come to earth? Did you know that? I believe that God could have found a different way for salvation other than having Jesus come to earth, but yet that was pre-planned before the foundations of the earth were formed. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he gave thanks for what was about to happen. John 6:11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. Now, the Bible says there were 5,000 what? Men. That does not count the women, nor the children. You know, there could have been as many as 25,000 people there. Wow! 25,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I heard somebody say one time it had to be tuna fish because tuna goes a long ways. Amen? But you know, we need to realize that Jesus gave thanks before he ever fed the 5,000. You know, isn't that what Thanksgiving is all about? Giving thanks to God for the provisions that he's given us through this last year? You know, as I was doing this message the other night, I was thinking about the pilgrims in the first Thanksgiving. What were they thankful for? Were they thankful for their great big houses? Were they thankful for the cars? They were thankful for the crops and stuff that they had that year. They were thankful for the first harvest in a new country. That's what they're thankful for. You know, I think so many times we get our eyes off of what we really need to be thankful for and we get them on other things. You know, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he could have just went up to the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." But he didn't. John 11:41 it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.'" You know, even when the Lord Jesus was at one of the lowest times in his life emotionally, I believe, after all, there's only three places that I know in the Bible, maybe Brother Echoes can tell me different, that it says that he wept. Once he wept over Jerusalem. Once he wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the third place was at Lazarus' tomb before he got there, when Mary and Martha were there. The longest verse in the whole Bible, Jesus wept. That's it. Jesus wept. You know, what we need to realize is that here Jesus is at one of the lowest times in his emotional life, and yet what's the first thing he does? He prays and thanks God the Father for hearing him. You know, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, I can see that night the disciples sitting at this table. It's late at night, sun's been down for quite a while, and they're sitting at this table, and they've just eaten a big meal, and they're all tired, and he takes bread, and he breaks it, and the Bible said, after he gave what? Thanks. After he gave thanks, he broke the bread and distributed it amongst them. After he gave thanks, did he have to give thanks for it? Probably not, but he did. You know, I think there's many of us who should give thanks more often for what we have to eat. Amen? You know, my wife and I, whenever we go out to eat, we always pray. You know, we always do. You know, we just sit there, bow our head and pray. We were at the Chinese restaurant over in Coolidge one day, and we were sitting at the table, and there was a big table over a little ways from us, and we bowed our head, and we started praying. And I got all done praying, and I looked up, and that whole table was looking at us. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not good. I didn't really care. All of a sudden, all of them bowed their heads, and they started praying too. I'm thinking, wow, that's cool. You know, hey, we'll set the example if we have to. I don't care. But listen, there's an awful lot of people who don't give God thanks for what they're about to partake. You know, tomorrow is the best day of the year to give God thanks. Amen? I'll tell you what, there'll be a lot of food on a lot of tables. I know there will be on ours because I'm cooking right now, believe it or not. As I'm preaching, I am cooking. I have a great big ham in the smoker, and it is smoked. It will be smoked by the time we got home, or get home tonight. And I will take that out, and about 10 o'clock tonight, I will put a turkey in the smoker, and I will smoke that for about 12 hours or 14 hours. And by the time we're ready to eat, it'll be just golden brown. Oh, the smoke flavor that'll come out of that is out of this world. Am I making anybody's mouth water yet? Amen. Yeah, but he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But listen, we need to give thanks for what we're going to have tomorrow to eat. We really need to. After all, God gave it to us all. You know, Jesus gave thanks for all things. We need to take an example from the Lord and give thanks in whatever state we're in. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You know, Paul did not like what he had to go through in life. I really do not believe that Paul liked to be whipped. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Paul liked to be stoned and left for dead. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Paul liked to be cast into prison every town he went to. And you know what else? I don't believe that Paul liked being shipwrecked. I don't believe it. But yet he said, "In whatsoever state I am in, I will be content." You know, when we're going through bad times in our life, we need to be content with what God has brought into our lives. We need to be content with what God is doing for us. Second thing is this: we should be thankful as the heavenly host is thankful. Not only as the Lord is thankful, but as the heavenly host is thankful. Revelation 4:9 says this: "And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, whom lives forever and ever." Revelation 7:11 says, sounds like a gas station, doesn't it? Revelation 7:11 says, "And all of the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts fell down before the throne on their faces and worshipped God." The heavenly hosts are thankful for what God has done, and they thank him continually. Now, just think for a minute. Here's God, and he has created four beasts. Now, these four beasts I can only visualize in my mind by the description that's given in the Bible. And I'm thinking to myself, they got to be ugly. And but he's created four beasts, and those four beasts all the time do what? Praise him. Give him glory. Give him honor and glory and praise. That's all they were created to do, was to give God glory. Do you think maybe God likes our glory that we give him? Do you think maybe he likes our thanksgiving that we give him? Do you think maybe he likes when we sit there and sing hymns? I do. I really do. I believe that God loves to hear his sons and daughters give him all the glory they can. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now, think about that at Jesus' birth. All of a sudden, here's these shepherds out in the middle of the wilderness watching their sheepies. It's dark. They're tired. All of a sudden, the heavens open up, and there's the heavenly host praising God for what had just happened, the birth of the Lord Jesus. You know, if the heavenly host give praise and honor and glory to God, why is it we don't feel we should? You know, one of the things that we're commanded to do is we're commanded to give thanks. Did you know that? We are commanded to give thanks. Psalms 50, verse 14, it says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We need to give thanks for all that we have obtained in life. whether it's good or whether it's bad, we should praise the Lord. You know, I think of the movie Facing the Giants. What was one of the themes they had? If we win, we're going to praise God. If we lose, we're going to praise God. Whether we win or whether we lose, we're going to praise God. Boy, that's a good attitude to have, isn't it? You know, if we're not feeling real good, we're going to praise God. If we've got backaches and headaches and... what else you got aching tonight, Brother William? Oh, headache? Oh, okay. Oh, Larry? Okay. Larry was pointing to his head, so I thought maybe you're giving him a headache. But listen, hey, it doesn't matter what aches and pains we have. We should praise God. You know, what are those aches and pains from? Feeding those that need food. That's what they're from. My back's killing me tonight. My head's killing me tonight. You know, but you know what? I'm going to praise God anyway. Because I know that it was for His honor and His glory. It wasn't for my own. It was for His honor and His glory. You know, but we're commanded to pray. You know, if God wants the heavenly host to give Him thanks, why is it we don't feel that we should give Him thanks? Why do we feel that He does not want to hear us say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free"? Why is it we don't feel like God wants us to do that? If we did, we would do it a whole lot more, wouldn't we? You know, it's a great thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalms 92:1 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High." You know, we should give all the thanks which we can to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures for what? Forever. Not for today, forever. You know, our prayers should always be accompanied with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." If you look at the Lord's Prayer, He gives thanks for the things which He was given. David does. You know, if you take and you look at, if you are not David, the Lord does. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer for a minute. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." I can't remember the rest of it. But listen, He gives God thanks for what He has. You know, what we need to realize is we need to always give God thanks for what He's given us. Not only that, but do you know the unbeliever will not give God thanks? The atheist won't give God thanks. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Listen, a person who does not know the Lord will not give Him thanks. They won't. They will never give God thanks. With that in mind, if the sinner or the unbeliever won't give God thanks, maybe we should. Amen? Maybe we should more often. Maybe we should give God thanks all the time. Maybe we should praise Him all the time. You know, this morning I woke up and I was thinking, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. You know what we need to sing, and we need to give him praise, we need to give him thanks for everything that he has done for us. After all, okay, on three, I want everybody to inhale. One, two, three. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Now, you know what? If there wasn't a God, you couldn't do that. Did you know that? If there was not a God, you could not do that. We should be thankful that God allows our diaphragm to go up and down so that we can take in air and stay alive. You know, we need to give the Lord all the thanks for what he has done for us this past year. You know, if we're not thankful for our clothes, our food, our houses, our car, our health, wealth, our families, what is there to be thankful for? We need to give the Lord all the thanks which he and only he alone deserves to have for allowing us to take that breath. You know, with all the things going on with Thanksgiving weekend 2018, let's all remember to give thanks to the God who has supplied all of our need according to his riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. You know, if we do not give him thanks, who will? Who will? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. We cannot thank you enough for all that you've done for us. We thank you for this night that we can come into your present prayer. We thank you for the opportunity of being in church tonight. Father, I just thank you so much for loving us. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're saying, you know, Pastor, if there was something going to happen to me right now, if I was going to be in a plane crash, car accident, whatever, and I would die tonight, I'm not 100% sure where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me tonight? Just raise your hand quickly, quietly, put them down. Anyone at all? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I would spend eternity. Anyone else? Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I haven't been thankful to God the way I should be. I haven't thanked him for everything that he's done in my life. Would you pray for me tonight that I can have a more thankful heart? That's you. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand quickly. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Thank you so much. Father, you know our hearts. You know our deepest desires. Father, I just pray now for these that have raised their hand tonight. I just pray that you would help them to be more thankful for the things that they receive. And many times we receive things by your hand, and we don't even realize they're by your hand, but we should realize that all things that come to us are through you. I just pray that each and every one of us here tonight will have that thankful spirit. Be with us now, I pray. Guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and turn our hymnals, number 161.